Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Today is Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. January is over, and it's a tender anniversary for us here today. And so we appreciate all of you being here with us. And this is a budget meeting, a first budget meeting for the City of South Jordan for 2025. Sorry. First of 25. Oh. Sorry. Yeah. It's our second budget meeting. Is it? Did we meet in the fall about budget? I can't remember. I'm losing track. It's listed in the calendar as first, but it's fine. It's good.
It was our strategic planning, which is the prep.
Yeah, it's okay. We are happy to be here for our budget meeting and grateful that our staff is so on top of things that we have the chance to get together and get good information so early on in the process that we tend to be about the first city in the state with our budget taken care of and set. And I know that from so many other cities. They get theirs started about the time we're wrapped up. So it's really an advantage to us to be able to be ahead of things. And I know the team's worked really hard on this. Starting us off tonight, we're going to have an invocation by Mr. Brian Priest, our Director of City Commerce.
Our kind and gracious Father in Heaven, we're indeed grateful for the opportunity we have to meet and discuss this important subject. We're thankful for this beautiful community we live in and the opportunity we have to be a part in that. We actually to help us to understand the issues at hand and that we might be able to have guidance in how to allocate scarce resources and how to take care of the needs of the city and its residents and businesses. When we say this humbly in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Priest. I had a dentist appointment today and I told the dentist I just have to be unnumb by 5 o'clock. That's literally half hour before this meeting, I finally started to get some feeling back and I don't look quite as unique and I can speak clearer. But I was talking to him and I told him we had this budget meeting and he said, budget meetings, that can't be easy. And I said, well, here's a little heads up. There is no money. I said, everything is lean. We run on the leanest budgets ever. And I said, we just do. And he said, you know, I know that's true. He said, I don't participate like in government as an elected or, a staff or whatever. But he said, there's all this talk about overspending by government. And he said, I know our local governments get by on nothing. And I said, practically nothing. And he said, I know that barely anything that we pay in comes to you guys. I said, barely anything. That's true. And so he sends along his gratitude for the hard work of tonight and appreciates that here in South Jordan, we do things the way we do things. He's grateful. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to our city manager, Mr. Dustin Lewis, for a discussion of the fiscal year 25-26 budget.
Well, thank you. Traditionally, this meeting was the one where all of the directors would get up and make presentations about their staffing needs. We're going to do things a little bit different this year, and I'm going to be the sole presenter tonight to walk you through what we've been working on for about the last 5 months. Is actually when we started to prepare for the meeting tonight. It was back in September. I assigned all the department heads to start to evaluate what their needs were in their department, to be mindful that we knew we weren't going to have a lot of budget to work with, but to really analyze their programs, analyze their personnel needs. They put together all of those requests for what they thought they would need for an increase in operational costs, what they felt that they would need for personnel. Those were submitted to our HR team. I think most of you know our HR director, Teresa Cook, and our associate director, Corinne Thacker. I think this is the first time she's ever got to come to a budget meeting.
I know, so. I was thinking that. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
I know, you're so lucky to be elevated to the point where you get to attend budget meeting. Yeah, no, thanks for being here. We really appreciate you guys all being here.
So they did a lot of work with all of our department heads to review all of those submissions. They set meetings up to meet with Sunil, myself, and Jason. They met internally in their own departments and with their deputies and managers. We had a lot of discussion with them. At times it was, wouldn't say heated, but it was a healthy discussion about the real need for those positions. Some cities have a philosophy that we'll ask for 50 and the council will cut it down and we'll get 20, right? These guys don't do that. When they ask for something, they truly do have the justification and the needs behind that. So I'll walk you through what was asked for tonight.
And, can we just pause? I love that. Thank you. Because sometimes too often you're like, okay, what's your real need? And we've come to trust that you ask us for real things. And I, for one, am really grateful. And I appreciate you saying that again, because in business, usually somebody that wants 40,000 asks you for 50 and then you negotiate. So anyway, thank you.
I can say that they didn't bring anything to me that wasn't legitimately needed and justified and data-driven. We have the data behind every one of those requests. There was nothing fluffy about those. What we're going to do tonight, I'm going to walk you through kind of an overview of some of our initial budget projections. I'll walk you through what those staffing requests were. We'll talk a little bit about the operational cost increases that we're facing. I mean, that's, you know, the economy in general, the cost of everything has gone up. That's why eggs are $7 a dozen, if you can find them, right? Unless you know somebody.
How do we get at the Smiths by my house, it's $11 a dozen for medium-sized eggs. That's all they had. That's what, yeah.
Well, what? Sell
eggs? No.
Would you like to?
They don't produce enough in the winter.
Yeah, so we're not buying them from there anymore.
And
just
we'll
you know.
Touch a little bit about some of the impacts on some service levels, as well as, believe it or not, Sunil and I are already working on next year's budget before we're even done with this budget and putting some pieces together for that. That next part of the vision. So I kind of want to walk through to start off what was asked for by the team. The new positions that were asked for totaled 27 new positions across the city. 10 of those are full-time and 17 of those are part-time requests. The price tag for those 27 positions is just around $2.2 million if we were to fund all 27 of those positions. Along with that, the department directors put together requests for performance based increases. This is for employees that go well beyond and above their regular duties. These are employees that are producing at 2 and 3 times their capacity to get things done. Those performance increases, and every department director wrote a page or more of justification, citing the examples of what those employees have done to justify that. Those requests totaled about $85,000. Another big part of what we do here in the city of South Jordan is we have what we call career ladders. This is an opportunity for our employees to grow and develop in their careers. And this is across multiple departments. So in fire, it might be moving from a firefighter 1 to all the way up to senior firefighter. It might be maintenance worker 1, 2, 3. Might be information agent 1, 2, 3. What that means is to move through that career ladder, you have to acquire and demonstrate proficiency with lots of different skills. So for example, moving from a parks maintenance 1 to a parks maintenance 2 means you've gone out, you've gotten additional certifications. Maybe you've added your pesticide license or other things. So as you move up that career ladder, you're more and more valuable to the city. We recognize that in our pay scale by having those different grades, or not grade, but a different ladder that you can move through. And so that's across the city. If everyone that is in a job position were to qualify for an available career ladder, it would be somewhere between $545,000 and $580,000 to fund all of those career ladders that we believe could be eligible. And one of the things that we ask the directors to do is they look through every position in their department that could potentially move one of those career ladders, and they put that in as a request so that there's no surprises during the year. We know going in that's what it would take.
So are you saying you're budgeting for the 585?
I'm saying that's what was requested, was the 545 to 580. That's if every single person that could got one. Now, the chances of that happening, I'm just saying if it happened, that's what it would cost. We know there's some people that might not pass that test to get that certification, or they might not have quite the skill set proficiency to qualify yet.
Let me ask a question. Mm-hmm. Currently in the city, Do we have these career ladders? Have we ever?
Yes, we've had these for a long time.
Okay, so how much did we spend on career ladders last year?
I'm going to ask one of these three to look that answer up.
I'm just curious, like comparison.
Yeah.
What's our history?
And it depends. Some years more people qualify, some years they don't. It depends, too, on how many people are seasoned, because you top out. Most of these only have like 1, 2, and 3.
Uh-huh.
Our goal is to get people to that third level. That's the most experienced, most proficient position. And so if we say in the water department, all of our guys are water maintenance 3, there's nobody that's going to get that year. Does that make sense? But if we hire a new guy, somebody leaves, we hire a new guy, they could potentially be.
So my curiosity is, if this is already in place, what percentage of our employees act on this opportunity?
Almost all of our employees are working toward that if it's available
that's
to
great.
Them, because it means a slight pay increase,
okay.
and it makes them more valuable to me, because they've got more skills I can rely on them to do that.
With that career ladder bonus or whatever, it's a year by year?
So it increases their base pay.
Okay.
So
with that, is there any commitment back to the city? So, hey, we're going to give you this base pay increase, and you now need to make sure you're employed here another 18 to 24 months. There's no employment.
It's not like tuition reimbursement where we say if you don't stay for a year after you graduate, you got to pay it back. We don't do that with the career ladder.
Okay.
This is developing our people to
okay.
be the very best that they can be. And yeah, it does. It makes them a target for other cities to try to poach
exactly.
them. But that's why we give them a pay bump, because it puts them into that range where they're harder to poach.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're paying them for what they're really
Got
worth
it.
In the market.
Thank you.
The other thing that our departments look at and what our HR team looks at is market adjustments. We want to be competitive with the cities around us. Are we fairly compensating our employees? You guys have said before that when it comes to public safety, we want to be in that top tier of the cities around us. It's important because we put a lot of investment and training into our public safety folks. We put a lot of investment and training into our public works folks. When we lose them to another city, it's not only losing that employee, but we now have to retrain and get that experience back. So staying competitive in the market is really important. When we look at where we're at with the market adjustments, to bring police and fire up to speed to be in that top tier of the market, we'd be looking at $1 million to bring them up to market. What that means is that the other cities have pulled ahead of us. And so their tiers, that how they pay their folks, are a little higher. We're moving down below the middle of that range now. So that cost to do those market adjustments is about $1 million for police and fire. In the general pay plan, we're actually doing much better. We have a few positions that are a little bit out of market. To bring those up to market, we're looking at about $65,000 to $94,000, which is pretty good. That speaks volumes to what we've done in previous years to stay competitive. So that's kind of where we're at with personnel related. Now, the other big part of our budget is our operations, what it costs to get things done. When we buy paper, when we purchase software subscriptions, when we buy asphalt, when we buy the stuff to do the work, those increases that have been asked for total around $1.3 million, which is about a 10% increase in the cost of the materials that we need to do our work. So
we're a little shy of $6 million at this point.
About five and a half million is what's been asked for.
Just rough math in my head.
Yeah, that's good math.
That's
good. So what is really needed in our budget? And right now, today, our current employee costs in the general fund of our operations are $52.5 million. If you're really quick at math, like the mayor is, you realize that that's $1 million a week to pay for the personnel to run this city. It's just over $1 million. Our current operating costs are $11.2 million to buy the stuff we need to do our jobs. The other thing that we're required to do is pay back our debt. Sunil always tells me, stay out of debt, even if you have to borrow to do so, stay out of debt.
Jay Golden. Yep.
And so our debt payments that we have to make are $3.4 million. So right now, to move into that next budget year, to keep things as they are today, we need about $67.1 million to fund the budget. Now, Sunil's been locked in his office for the last month and a half, crunching a lot of numbers.
I totally refrained from saying that when we opened the meeting, but I have heard that more than one time.
So if you haven't seen him, he has been in his office. He's been working very diligently to finish our end of year budget work, including putting the CAFR together and all of those things. And he's had some significant tasks to complete. Part of that is going through the prediction of what we can anticipate as revenues. Just by way of information, what makes part of his job a little more difficult is just Monday, I got the sales tax comparison numbers for January 25 compared to January 2024. And our sales tax revenue back to the city was down 20%. We were not the only city. Out of the 62 cities that are on here, we were ranked 23. For example, Brigham City was down 32%. But the running average was around 21% most cities saw. I don't get super worried about one month. There was a month last year where we were up 20%. What I look for is that trend over time of where that sales tax revenue comes in. And for us, it's been trending around 2% over what it was a year ago. That's indicative of people not spending as much, going out to eat and shopping and doing those things. And it's not just us. We're hearing that from the state right now in their revenues. So Sunil's been crunching the numbers, and he's comfortably informed me that we can expect about $68,621,772 in change. So
did you say 628 million?
68,621,772. So the delta on what we need and what is available is about 1.5 million of new money. And as the mayor pointed out, we had about 5.5 million in asks. And so the question then becomes, what do I recommend to you of how we deal with that delta when it comes to our people and our operations? I know that there will be some increase to our costs for insurance to keep people's benefits where they are. I also met with our team that does our work comp insurance recently, and while we haven't got our new EMOD, I've been around that business long enough to know that the year that's dropping off that calculation was one of our really, really good years, and the year that we're picking up was one of our really bad years. I know that based on that and some other things that have trended there, I anticipate an increase for our work comp. So those anticipated costs will be just a little bit over $100,000 that we've got to pay to keep going. I mentioned that the ask on the operating expenses was about $1.3 million. Of that, about $663,000 is money that we've got to pay the increases. Our bills are going up. So for example, our cost that we pay VEC is going to go up. And we have to pay that because we have to keep using VEC. We have software subscriptions that we use that we know are going up. We have to pay. So Neil's gone through that list and determined what was an ask because we know the cost have gone up, and what is the cost has gone up, we have to pay this. We don't have a choice. And that's $663,000 just to cover what has to go up. So I take that out of the $1.5 million. Leaves me with about $836,000. And I could go a couple different directions with this. And this is where I've had a lot of discussions with this team of experts in how best to do that. That amount works out if we wanted to do about a 3% pay increase to our current employees. That's about what it would cost us to do that. So that'd be a 3% to police, fire, public works, and then the general team, we could just do 3%. initially, that's what I was thinking would make the most sense, right? That sounds pretty fair. Although when I go to our strategic priorities that we use to do our decisions, when we get to fiscally responsible governance, there's a couple of things that stand out to me. One of them is, when it comes to our workforce, we attract, motivate, develop, and retain high-quality, engaged, and productive workforce. We do fiscal responsibility, operational excellence, trust and transparency by ensuring accountability, efficiency, and innovation in all operations. Provide responsive and accessible leadership, and support decision-making with timely and accurate short-term and long-term range analysis that enhances vision and planning. And when I think about that, and I think about the needs of our city and what we need to do for the health of our organization, I really think we have to focus on market competitiveness. And you heard me talk about our police and fire are falling below that range. The career ladders are really important to the development of our employees. We need to recognize those employees that really do perform. And then we need to look at that COLA, the cost of inflation. When I look at that, what I would actually recommend, last year when we did the budget, we did a 3% COLA and a 1% merit. What that meant was we shifted those pay grades, which kept us strong in the market. That's why we don't have as many market adjustments there. But with our step plans, we only shifted those 1% and then had people make a step move, which was 3%. So that's how they got their 4%. So it was kind of opposite of each other. What I'm recommending in 25-26 is that we consider funding the public works, police, and fire steps. That's the majority of our employees that are on those step plans. And by funding the steps, they would move up one step if they were eligible to move that step. And the step increase is about a 3% raise. That would cost us about $264,000. What I'd also recommend is that we fund our general pay plan 1%. That would cost us about $159,000. Then what I'm recommending is that, and we would have those take effect in July at the start of the fiscal year. What I'm recommending is that we do mid-year market adjustments to the step plan, meaning that we would adjust the steps, but not until the middle of the budget year. That would then cost $183,000. And then I would also suggest that at that same time, we did the mid-year market adjustments to the general fund, which would cost us about $33,000. And I'm also going to suggest that we fund the career ladders, but nobody's eligible to get that increase until the mid-year adjustments. So people would still be able to work towards those and earn those. We just wouldn't start paying those that earn them until the mid-year. And that's potentially $219,000. That comes back at about $859,000, which is a little more than what Snell had. But there's still some fluidity to these numbers while we nail things down. This is the concept. These are numbers we feel good about. We would really narrow those down as we start to put that into the budget if we want to go this route. Now, you're probably saying, what does that mean for service levels? For the most part, our service levels continue to be what they are today. We're a growing city. We're adding infrastructure that has to be cared for. So, you know, there might not be a park that got mowed quite as quick, or an extra lane mile that didn't get swept, or whatever. When it comes to public safety, we continue to operate like we do. Typically, our police department has between 4 and 7 openings. We would work to just get all of those openings full next year. Usually, we add 3 or 4 spots, and Jeff's always playing catch-up to get those filled. This year, we just focus on getting caught up, looking ahead and knowing that in that next year, to keep up with our growth plans, we may have to think about extra officers in that next budget year. If we do that, structured that way, I do think that it keeps us competitive in the marketplace. It puts the resources in the areas that cost us the most when we have turnover. And that would be my recommendation as to how we put together our budget when it comes to the personnel and operations. Y'all have a gloomy look, so I'm assuming you're going to have some questions for me.
I have a smaller one. So the STEP plan is more robust for the public works, police, and fire.
So and let me give you a little background so you understand that.
Does that have the highest turnover?
This is all of our water guys, our firefighters.
I have no problem with that. I do think those are people we need to keep and retain.
And what we've done is we've designed that STEP plan so that when people start a career as, say, a water maintenance worker, within 10 years, they're at the top of what that position pays. Some cities that don't have steps, they have pay grades, and you're forever trying to get through there, and it takes you forever. You got to be here forever to get to that top pay. This moves people through, and as they get all that skills and experience, by the time they're at the best they can be, they're maxed out in those pay grades. So if you're at a step 10, the top of the pay scale, you wouldn't get that raised because there's not a step that you're moving to until the mid-year when we adjust that scale and move the scale up. Does that make sense? But yeah, these are our frontline people. These are the people out on the street. These are the people that are fixing your water leak, that are driving the patrol car around the neighborhood, that drive the ambulance to your house. They're the ones that are on that. Now, like the chiefs and those, they're not on the STEP plan. They're in the general pay plan.
And that's the areas that have the highest turnover in our city?
Those are positions that when they turn over cost us the most. We've invested a lot in uniforms. We've invested a lot in training. There's a lot that goes into those positions. So turnover there has a higher cost than, say, a turnover utility billing clerk.
Right.
Okay. Not that those folks aren't important. Don't get me wrong.
But it's
I have a lot more invested in a police officer that we've just put through the academy for a year and bought a uniform for. And
right.
There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Dustin, when you say mid-year, you're talking mid-fiscal year.
Mid-fiscal year, yes.
So
December.
A year from now, essentially.
Yeah, we'd be looking at probably January or the first part of February. It depends on how those pay periods fall, and it depends on how we finalize the numbers. When Sunil goes, if this is the concept that we're comfortable with, and he goes back and starts to calculate this down to the penny, that'll tell me which pay period, if I do the first pay period or the second pay period in January or the first pay period in February, because that's how I make up that delta. You know, I said roughly I've got about 836,000. This would cost me about 859, and we're still fine-tuning what that number would be. But the difference in that pay period depends on when I can start this. Because each pay run that we do every 2 weeks is just over $2 million. So that delta makes this up if I'm 2, 4, or 6 weeks into that middle of the year. Now, one of the things, I know Councilmember Shelton's had a chance to sit down with Sunil. I think you guys spent the better part of a day diving deep into the numbers. We're setting up those times. I think you're coming in tomorrow. Sunil's prepared to sit down and go line by line, if you want, where all the pennies are in the budget, how this looks, what this means. But tonight I wanted to talk more the philosophy of here's what we have, and here's my recommendation for how we put the budget together and make it work.
So do we know what our general turnover rate is?
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but last year I think it was about 12%, if I remember the numbers correct.
Is that with or without retirements?
That's everything.
What's that without retirements?
Retirements, we broke that down. It was like maybe 12% retirement last year. It was higher.
Yeah, we had a few that went last year. That's a healthy number in an organization. You don't want that number to be zero because that's not healthy. We also don't want it to run 20 and 30% because that's costly to the organization.
Do we have any sense how that compares?
Ours is actually pretty good.
Compared to other cities, yeah.
Ours is
pretty good.
It's enviable.
It seems like we've been around that number for a while.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and
we don't feel like this delay and the 6-month delay is going to have a significant impact on that.
I mean, it's possible, right? I mean, somebody could say, well, fine, I can go to the neighboring city and make 35 cents more an hour. That happens. But there are also other people that will and have taken a cut of 35 cents because they want to come be part of Team South Jordan and they want to be part of the culture and they want to be part of what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's just important that the employees know that we're funding it, though. It may be a 6-month delay, but that we're still trying to make that happen, that it is going to come.
Because that's the thing. If we just did the 3% raise across the board, there's nothing for career ladder. There's nothing for market adjustment. There's nothing for the performance. None of that exists. It's just 3% and we're done.
Yeah.
This puts that focus on adjusting the market. This puts our police and fire back towards the middle, which is good. That's where we want to be.
And we're comparing to other cities in Salt Lake County.
We compare to the cities that are the ones that we compete against. We're not comparing ourselves to St. George. We haven't lost an employee to St. George, I think, for a long, long time. But we're looking at the Rivertons, the Harrimans, the Sandys, the Drapers, the West Valleys, the West Jordan. That's the pool that we're dealing with. That's where we want to be competitive.
And so we're slightly below average on that number now.
On our police and fire, when we've looked at that, yeah, we've gone down. And that's a function of last year. You know, a lot of those neighboring cities did a tax increase, and they spent that money paying public safety, and they leapfrogged us. We were ahead of them.
They were the ones that didn't do it the year before.
They were the ones.
Sandy did it last year.
They
didn't do it the year before when we did.
A lot of those cities, they jumped ahead of us. And some of them are only ahead of us by pennies. But when we break it down and it's, you know, $30 here, $30.18, $30.45, we fall towards the bottom. And we're trying to get back above the middle.
So they've really seen South Jordan and said, let's just one up them.
Yeah. And that's been part of the wage wars, right?
They had to, because they're in the same boat that we were in when we had to do it as a result of other cities initially.
Just in the last 5 years, I mean, the starting wage of a police officer went from around $18, $19 an hour to, I think it's around $30 now. That's the kind of wage wars that have happened in this valley. Because not a lot of people are choosing to come work for government, all we can do is poach from each other. That's why it's so important that we stay competitive in the marketplace. Because kids aren't raising their hand in the fifth grade saying, I want to be a police officer, I want to be a fireman, I want to be the city manager. That's not happening. And so we cannibalize from each other. So that's why this second path to keep things on track is so important. You know, when I look at those sales tax numbers, all those cities are in the same thing. I can't imagine they're going to be as healthy to do that.
That 20% has me concerned, because it's exactly the drumbeat that this council's been beating and concerned about for like the last 5 years, is that. And I know that it's a reflection that not as many people are out spending their money, but I would almost counter that a bit with are not spending their money in South Jordan, because I know that whether we like to think that a neighboring development that's gone in is actually generating any revenue or not, their elected officials told me outright they've had a double-digit increase year after year since that went in, and they have so much surplus they've just been using it to pay off debt.
Yeah,
and
our neighbors,
so
it's
just something we have to
continue
looking at.
So yeah, all of our neighboring cities had bigger drops.
Riverton.
Yep.
So they didn't raise by two digits this year, because they have for the last like.
Just in the last month, where's Riverton? They were down 20 year to year over the last month. Huh. Same period last month or last year. So January.
Commercial development. That's surprising.
Well, and it's an impact to our Costco. All these things, you know, there's just a lot of things that have gone in all around, and everybody's sharing the love, and it's just the way things
are
set up.
The point is, it's affecting all of us,
right?
The same. Mm-hmm. So what other questions do you have for me?
On the subscriptions on the software and that, do we do an in-depth audit to make sure that we don't have? I'm going to pick on engineering, sorry if they're here, but, you know, like one person that likes one CAD program, someone else that likes this other one, that we're trying to use all the same licensing as much as possible.
In fact, since we hired Matthew, This has been a big focus, one of the things that he's working on. Corinne is also a member of what we call our Committee on Technology. They are auditing the heck out of this. They're trying to find out where we have duplicate licenses, where we have softwares that aren't being used. They are figuring out where we can combine things. They are building a roadmap that's multi-year into the future for how we get better on track and better efficient with the use of software. Software that we can bring in and use that will reduce the need for some of these one-off pieces mm-hmm. that people are using. So yeah. That's the long answer of yes. These folks are on that, and we are looking for some significant efficiencies when it comes to our, not only that, but our hardware. We're doing some upgrades that are making things faster and more secure. We're doing a lot in that arena, and it's credit to Matthew and his team and the path that they're getting us put on for the future.
Jason, I think I'm meeting with you next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can go over those subscriptions in detail with you.
Yeah. Not so much concerned about exactly what they are, just making sure that we are making sure that we're not getting that licensing creep where suddenly we have all these one-offs or we retired this piece of equipment, but we forgot to cancel that license for that, yep. So we've still been paying for that license.
That's exactly
those are things that I've seen happen.
They're looking to do.
And on a side note, thank you for all of the extra work on security, too. It's crucial. It's critical. It is critical. And when we've seen such a significant breach in a few public entities just over the last year, 2 years, whatever, we don't want to be that. And so thank you
and,
for that.
You know, we're looking at moving to a cloud-based type environment, and not only any cloud-based, but on the really secure cloud that, like, the Department of Defense is on. That kind of a cloud. Hmm. So we're doing some really good things. Yeah, we're lucky to have Matthew at the helm there. Like I said, this team back here is phenomenal. They've done a lot of work to help me get to this point tonight, and I give them all the credit for.
I think as a council, we would like to reflect our firm agreement with that, our belief in that. We agree with you. We know we have the best team. It's not just talk. It's not just, it's not placating at the beginning of council meetings. It's real. We mean it. We believe it. We know it. And we'd like to be able to reflect that. So I appreciate you working on a way that we can at least do something.
Could you hire someone that has a money tree that can start growing?
Yeah, but money trade.
Chief Carr generally shuts that kind of operation down.
Just keep him out of Snail's office, it'll be okay.
Cam, but you're not suggesting getting rid of
him. No.
Just waiting for your printer.
Just waiting to have more to like spread around.
What other questions? Are you comfortable with that approach?
Do we have any money for our capital projects?
Or? I'm glad you asked that because our next meeting in February will be to discuss the capital, the CIP stuff that we've been working on. As you know, we have a 5-year plan that we're always working on. Sunil has some funds. It's going to be the shortest list of CIP projects that you've seen in a very long time. But we do have some projects. We'll talk about those in our next budget meeting, kind of what the strategy and the plan is for that. And as you know, we have a couple other big projects that we're working on and figuring out how to make all those happen as well. So, yeah, we'll have that in the next meeting.
Okay. And I just keep having random questions pop into my head. But so, Chief Carr, normally we authorize 3 or 4 new officers every year. And we're not authorizing it.
So this year we would not authorize that.
Well, we'll
we would
try to fill the
vacancies. We would try to work to fill so that we're running with every position staffed.
Yeah.
And then knowing that as we start working on that next budget year, that's going to be one of our priorities is to come back and
so we may have that. To do 6 or 8.
Or we might have to do 3 or 4 and catch that up over a year or two. So instead of doing like 3 this year and 3 next year, we might have to do 4 next year and 4 the next year to get to that same point.
Okay. And fire?
So fire, again, will fill the vacancies that we have. Our next big hiring in fire will be when we build Station 65 or staff the other battalion in Station 64. So as either one of those two things happen, we will then have to plan to hire the 21 or 22 people that it takes for a fire station.
Yeah.
So know that as we plan to build Station 65.
That's a big
together, ask. We're looking for 40 fires.
You know, that's a two and a half year build, and we will have to plan to fund that. And the way that we did that in 64 was over a couple budget years. We hired half 1 year and half in the next budget year to bring them on. We're looking at how we do that based on when that station comes on. And Sunil spends a lot of time thinking ahead 5 years out when it comes to bringing that on, including buying a new fire truck, which, what do we do? Have to order those almost 4 years in advance now, Chief?
4 years, yeah.
Is when we have to get an order in for a new fire truck. That's how long it takes to get one delivered. So we're thinking that far ahead to time when that station will get complete with when we have to drop that order for the fire truck.
A question. If the legislature, I just got asked about this today. If the legislature decides to eliminate cities' ability to collect impact fees, which is proposed.
How do we pay for stuff?
What does that do to this?
It's a great question. You know, one of the unknowns that we have is what unfunded mandates will the legislature drop on us in the next 38 days or however many days are left? If they take away our ability to collect impact fees, then I think as a city, we're probably going to have to look at that and say, okay, developers, you got to build it. Because we don't have the money to build it. So I don't know how they would expect us to build the infrastructure without the impact fee. Somebody's got to build it. So if they take that away, what I would hope is maybe they
wrap it into our development agreement.
Yeah, we'll have to change how we do business in that sense. We'll have to have a different plan. I would hope that if they do that to us, they give us another give somewhere else. Maybe they allow us to hold the property tax rate constant without a truth in taxation so that we can capture the inflationary growth that occurs in our communities. Because that's the one leg of our stool that just stays the same, basically, because they lower the tax rate every year to make it so that it stays the same, rather than capturing that inflationary growth. Yeah. So I would hope if they do that to us, they would maybe do something. But we'll have to change how we do things. Because if we can't build the infrastructure, somebody will have to build it.
Well, where all the affordable housing go?
I don't know.
Probably not in South Oregon.
Yeah.
So are we able to make any contribution to our rainy day fund at all this budget year?
I'd let Sunil tackle that question, how he does that.
Yeah, so the rainy day fund, I'm going back when you guys first came on board, we decided to look at the savings or surpluses and whatnot. And maybe at that point in time, as we allocate balances to capital projects, maybe some goes to the rainy day fund. It's good to add even half a percent. I mean, it's not a big number, but percentage wise, if we can show half a percent even increase. I mean, today I talked to Fitch rating agencies. They're trying to do a surveillance on our rating, and that's one of the questions they ask. Cybersecurity, they say, give me a plan of your cybersecurity. That's what, I mean, they want to know all those, and if we are lagging in any of those, then we get dinged. And we are proud of our AAA rating, and we want to keep that. So this budget, the balanced budget as is, does not add to it. But we add at the end of the fiscal year as we close the books, and if we have money left over, we can tiny increment. Yeah.
So that would be the plan. Do you anticipate doing that at the end of the fiscal year we're in?
I would like to, yes. Yeah. And it would maybe just, you know, $150,000-$200,000 or whatever it is to just take it up a notch. Yeah, because eventually we could have up to 35% by code, and I think we are about 28.5%.
which is still healthy.
It's good.
And needed. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
respectable
yeah.
to have that. That person,
Regina, like 23. Yeah, that seemed higher than I was. Yeah, it's a lot higher than I was.
Last year it was 27.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe just when I came on, we were that long.
Yeah.
It's just slowly been coming out.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the good news is with interest rates being high, some of our investments are doing pretty well.
So we're getting some interest in
there.
We are on that, yeah.
I have a question. I'm unclear. When you started off, you talked about 10 full-time, 17 part-time, 27 jobs. 2.2 million, and then we went through all of the other things.
Mm-hmm.
Is your proposal that we are approving those 27 jobs?
No.
Okay, because we didn't get any clarity
yeah,
on what
no,
those jobs
I apologize.
Are.
I should have been clear on that. And I'll tell you what the positions.
So that's a whole other
yeah.
conversation.
So
we're just talking.
Right. What I'm recommending is we don't hire any new people this year.
Okay.
So the positions that were asked for was a billing clerk. The reason for that is we continue to grow. Those add accounts. Every time we build a house and a business, that's another account for one of our utility workers. So as you can imagine, when we add, you know, 300-400 homes a year for the last couple of years, that's a lot of accounts that our team has taken on to do every month.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a request for that. There was the request for the 4 police officers, which we normally see, that's part of our plan. So 1 sergeant, 3 officers. There was a request for 2 parks maintenance workers.
How many?
2. There was a request for 4 seasonal parks maintenance workers. These would just be the people that we hire in the summer to do things. There was a request for a part-time driver at the senior center to help us with the van that goes around and picks people up, takes them to and from. The majority of those, 10 of those positions, were the concessions customer service. Because one of the things when we took over baseball, we're taking over concessions. We're going to look into that to see those positions should basically self-fund themselves based on the revenue from concessions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still looking at that piece to see, but those should be a
self-funded
neutral. If anything,
mm-hmm.
it should make us money.
Yes.
So that's one of those business things where we're running it as a business to do that.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that that not only pays for the labor and the product, but makes some profit as well. And then a cybersecurity person and a second position in information services. And then there was a request for an associate director in admin services from the variety of things that department's dealing with. So but we'll continue to stretch Melinda a little bit. So
out of those 27, I think maybe 2 or 3, like Dustin said, were from enterprise funds, and those positions are already built into the rates,
the fee structure,
so that they can afford that. So we may propose those.
Which positions?
So like a water maintenance worker, that's funded from the water fund, which is an enterprise fund. And remember, when we set the rates, we calculate in the personnel into that rate. And so we anticipate that growth. That rate is set based on the anticipated need of that person coming on. So in those enterprise funds, it's already figured into the budget to fund those positions at certain points. So when we put together the tentative budget, you may see a position. So I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't want you to freak out. Well, I thought Dustin said we weren't hiring anybody. Nobody in the general fund. But
okay.
in enterprise funds where those positions are already budgeted for and funded through the fees that are collected, you might see that show up there.
Honestly,
thank you.
I hate that every year we have to, it feels like deferred maintenance to me to not be able to staff all the positions every year or even hardly any of them every year. And that year after year, our team continues to say, I really need this and we can't afford it. And with if we went down 2% more in sales tax revenue this year than last year, that means we went down 18% last year. Is that what you said?
No. All this does is show the collection of the funds for that 1 month in sales tax. That's this. It's just a snapshot for that 1 month, and it's this month compared to
last year.
So this is January 25 versus January 24, but these are actually November's numbers.
Yeah.
So this is what was collected. But like I said, I don't get hung up on 1 month, because if I go back to the December number, which would have been the October numbers, we were up 20%. And then if I go to the month of November, we were down 2%. If I go back to October, we were down 2%. But when I go to September, we were up 10%. You know, and so as you look, there's fluctuations
there. Just the reason I ask that is because I think we do need to figure out. I just feel like we can't every year keep facing the reality that we can't fund any of these positions. I think that also sends a very clear message to our staff that it's not important enough to us to give them the support that they need, and they're all carrying more of a lift than they probably should have to be. And it's what it is. It's what, and I'm grateful that we have a team and everyone takes them for the team and does that heavy lift. At the same time, well, property tax is one leg of our stool. I think we need to have a really comprehensive conversation and some strategy about how to generate more revenue in the city besides sales tax, or I mean, besides property tax, and what we can do about all every different method. What are we going to do? Because I just don't think this is a trajectory that we can stay on. Our needs are going to keep going up. What we have is going to keep going down. And so I think more than just, I am so grateful for all the work that's gone into looking at how to make this next year work. And I know that there's a lot of long range planning happening, but I'd like us to figure out what we are going to do long term so that we don't have to say no to everything every single year. And it doesn't mean start taxing people out the wazoo. I am not that. But I mean, we can't keep getting by and burning people out without having what we need and not being able to pay them for their, you know what I mean?
Part of that is growing our economic development. But again, that's one leg of the stool, and what we have to be careful of, and it's the situation that we're in now, that leg of the stool for our sales tax revenue is really, really long in comparison to the other two legs. And because it's so subjective to whims in the economy of up and down, and we're in one of those down cycles, that leg shortens up on us really quickly. And so as we grow that leg, we need to keep in mind that we have to keep those other legs balanced as well. And so that's when we have those fee rate discussions. And we come in with a new rate study and we talk about this is what the fee needs to be. And we need to be sensitive to that we adopt those fees because that helps that leg of the stool. You know, at some point we have to look at how do we capture some of that growth of the property tax so that we keep that leg healthy, because we can grow and grow and grow our economic development, but we get an unstable leg. We have to be careful. It's going to be really good for us in the good times. That'll generate good revenue.
Right. Yeah.
And then we also have to be mindful too and watch how the state changes that distribution.
And we know that they're talking about the potential of eliminating the ability to collect any fees. And we don't collect fees the same way as some of our neighbors. We have, a far more balanced and, quite frankly, transparent approach to how we collect our revenues, because we chose as a body not to switch to a fee method, to maintain the property tax method, because it's the most transparent and the most, you know, people have the most input. It doesn't just happen in a room like this that nobody's in and we just set a number and, you know,
Even the sales tax distribution, they continue to play with that. And some of it's population-based, some of it's geography-based. We have to be really tuned in to what the legislature's saying about that.
You're saying a lot about it right now.
That we're getting our fair part of that, and that the state's not taking, you know, their share. And they're taking some of our tools away to track that. It used to be called zoning for dollars. You know, and we might need to push back and fight a little bit so that we have some of those tools to incentivize that development to come back and choose to come here. Because when the state levels that playing field, it doesn't give any city an advantage to get people to come.
And their rationale is they'll come anyway. They have to come. They want to come. So they'll come anyway. But
it's not how it works.
No, we've not
seen
that. So
we really have to. And that's why it's so important, Mayor, what you're doing up on the Hill and what City Attorney Luce is doing, fighting that battle to make sure that we keep those tools in the toolbox. It's really critical for us.
Just tying in with trying to make sure that everything stays more a balanced approach. You know, we've heard in LPC that the legislature is also talking about putting limits on how much a taxing entity can raise their property taxes as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's very crucial that we keep everything kind of well balanced. I'm there with the mayor. I don't want to just go taxing everyone.
Yeah,
we can't keep our property tax so low that when we need to increase it, there's now a state law saying, oh, no, you can't increase it because we decided to punish everyone.
Right, because they didn't like that a bunch of cities and school districts all had to do it the same year. Had to do it the same year. And that's what they're pushing back against,
so
making sure that can never happen again.
At that balance.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good point. Other questions, thoughts, concerns? If not, is this the path you want us to structure the budget around?
Go ahead.
Right. Have you identified any area that we can, you know, create some efficiencies in? And
yeah, in fact, this same group of people was around this table earlier today with Katie in our Office of Strategic Planning and Budget, going through a stack of sheets. They've been doing all the program analysis. They've been working with all the department directors to collect all that data to assign who works on what, how much things cost, and where can we derive those efficiencies. So yeah, they're digging into that. They're squeezing every turnip everywhere they can.
Well, and I remember Councilwoman Zander, you know, has mentioned in the past about volunteers. You know, there are certain things that volunteers can do to fill in certain areas that we,
yeah, we'll take volunteers where we can. There's a cost to doing volunteers too. But yeah, where we can get them and they're available, we'll use them.
So Patrick, I would add that I think it's built into this culture here that we're constantly trying to eliminate waste and get more efficient at what we do. I think it's an ongoing process rather than an event that staff takes part in.
Sure.
And so I would say over the last 6-7 years, like, it's really become part of the culture of these department heads that you see here, and it's something we're constantly working on.
Jason and I, and I think, were you there, Sunil? We met last week with Ray to work out how we could be more efficient with Rocky Mountain Power and their lights, and what that would mean to our budget and what the return on that investment would be. And so, you know, we're constantly doing that.
I think to Patrick, if I could speak to, it looks like our big expense is payroll, right? Mm-hmm. $2 million a week?
It's about
$2 million every 2 weeks.
It's about 78% of our general fund budget is people.
So obviously we all agree, fantastic staff, well-trained, we don't want to lose any. But there is that leverage piece of, you know, are there places that we don't have maybe hired staff running at all, but 2 hired staff and 2 volunteers, like the pumpkin promenade, the prep for
We use a lot of volunteers already for that.
We have who? Youth Council?
Youth Council.
We use our Youth Council extensively.
We use them a lot to do that.
Good. Something to think about. Is there another way we can open up that avenue? One thing we talked about years ago is having we have an arts council, and we have a senior council and different things. One thing we don't have is any kind of recreation council. I'd be curious to know what the payroll is for our rec department. There's a ton of people working in the rec department. Do we need all of those payrolled? Or could we start saying, let's get a recs council, and I know there's been pushback from staff years ago saying we don't really want to manage volunteers. I know that's work, I get it. But something to consider. Like, do we have some of these big events that we could implement more city? Because there's people that contact me in the city, and obviously we don't have staff living in every neighborhood.
Right.
But are there people in the city that if they were given that avenue or that connection, that they would sign up and say, yes, I want to be a volunteer for the Summerfest or light the night?
If we were to try to get volunteers to do what we have paid staff doing...
to assist.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, that doesn't save us any money, right? Because I'm still paying the person to do it. They're just coming to assist.
Yeah.
And we're doing that now.
Yeah. So not to be critical, but light the night, if you looked around, how many dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of staff are walking around?
Mm-hmm.
Could maybe those be cut in half and we have some volunteers?
If we could get the volunteers and we could get reliable volunteers, then yeah. And a lot of times you see these salaried folks filling those positions and they're just there. They're not getting any more money for it because we don't have the volunteers that we can count on to show up to do what they need to do to make those events what they are. I mean, we have some, and we would take more if we could get them.
Well, Summerfest used to be a volunteer thing, and
It had a disastrous year, and yes, that's why it went to staff. I wasn't on the council then, but I was on planning commission. Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, there's a reason why it got moved over to paid staff.
Yeah.
It's hard to find that balance between.
Well, and it's hard to find people who give that commitment.
To follow through. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
There's a lot of untold hours that go into those events behind the scenes.
Oh, I'm sure.
But even like on the arts councils, we were looking, you know, at additional events and that, like trying to push back in the discussion with the arts council and saying, okay, who on the arts council is willing to actually man that event?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, yeah, there's opportunities like that pop up where we can say, okay, we want to do this, and this is already a, you know, kind of volunteer council position. You want to see it happen. Are you willing to set aside that Saturday to come and make it happen?
Yeah.
I think for, do you mind if I?
No, go ahead, please.
I think for volunteers to work out, I think it has to be associated with the committee. I think, you know, I think you have to have a committee of people that are all getting together, they're working together as a team to make it work. I think that's the only way it works. But I mean, there are some areas where we have seen it work. I mean, just these are smaller things, but like, for example, like the Memorial Day, you know, that's pretty much done by, by the committee, the Veterans Day.
There's a lot of staff that helps with.
There's staff that helps. You know, with things like this. But as far as we're doing a lot of the organizing stuff like this, I mean, but there's a lot of. I'm not saying there's no staff.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that you guys don't see that the staff does to make sure that that happens.
I get that, and I don't think that's ever going to go away. I don't think there's ever going to be, you know, someone there. But I think there are. I'm just saying, I think it's more effective when it goes through a committee that's assigned to be able to do certain things versus just finding volunteers.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Volunteers work better if they're part of a committee and they feel like they actually own the event if they're part of it.
Yeah.
Then they'll actually follow through.
Yeah.
Make sure they're there. The advisory committee does that quite a bit.
Yeah.
But they do need someone who's spearheading.
No, exactly.
Of course, all for sure.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And I think the day of service, your staff has embraced that really well. And, you know, it's a one-off.
It's a one day.
But it seems like a lot of stuff happens. We're able to.
There's a lot of lead up to making that happen.
Yep.
What has to be prepped by the staff.
Exactly.
We have to babysit all the volunteers.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
That's a very costly day of service, actually.
It does cost us.
Yeah, yes.
But it does, on the other hand, it does save us, right? Because we can value that. And we
seems like a lot of things get better.
There's a lot that goes into it.
Is there an ROI on that day of service?
Yes.
I mean, or it's not just a feel-good thing?
No,
okay,
there's,
good.
There's an advantage.
That's good.
There's some work that gets done. Yeah.
We can calculate that, and it does help us.
That's good.
So, but again, it's not consistent. And,
It's a one day.
Yeah, if I could get that every week, we need parks to throw this around.
He wants to help mow the park.
If I had a group of volunteers that I could come out and put to work weeding in the park.
We don't even have scouts anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Just getting some of my red gerbs painted. And people are great to come out and help us on one-off kinds of things.
Yes.
But getting people that are willing to commit regularly,
yeah,
those are real heroes, and they're hard to come by. Mm-hmm. And we have some good ones. I mean, Lou Ann's a great example of one.
Yeah.
She does the veterans breakfast and things. Yeah. But finding the true heroes like that's tough.
Yeah.
But if I could get 200 of those, yeah.
Right. And that's a good word. They are heroes.
We,
those
we
kind of Lou Ann's are just few and far too.
I wonder if we could, and I know this is going to put pressure on somebody or somebody's to coordinate, but I wonder if we could be listing smaller projects on Just Serve, for example. I had the Just Serve coordinator for all the stakes in the area talking to me and saying, why isn't South Jordan ever on Just Serve? You know?
And I mean, we go back and talk about it. I know at one time we tried to do some things there, it didn't work well.
Yeah.
I'd be supportive of trying again.
But if you'd like us to
if
try.
Small things, if they're, I mean
painting curbs,
maybe, but,
yeah, you can.
Yeah, painting. If we're sending
it's good until
out to do it anyway, the painting
the
red,
out of control
curbs.
With red paint.
Yeah.
My youth didn't
and it's
get
no
out of
joke
control.
Red paint. It doesn't come out. Yeah, it's
one
serious
of my neighborhood
red paint.
Did a great job.
It doesn't come off cars either.
Yeah,
that's a great point because it did take staff time. They had to come pick up the paint. Somebody on staff had to help them. But then they went and did it.
To be quite honest, a lot of small projects like people want to come and do like a couple hour service activity with youth or a ward or something come up and. It probably takes as much time to get it set up as it does for the employees just to go actually go do the work. So, I mean, we have nothing against getting people involved, but, like, when you weigh it out, it's a lot. A lot of these small projects sometimes are just a lot easier to go take care of, and then you're not having to...
It's faster, for sure.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at it from a cost-saving stance, it's really not there. If we're looking at it from a community-building experience, that's where you get that.
And that's why things like the day of service have that value. But trying to coordinate them every week to come out and take care of a park would be a nightmare.
Oh, I'm sure.
Plus, I don't know that I'd trust them on a $60,000 riding mower.
It's hard to trust me on my $5,000 one.
We have awesome employees.
I've wrecked a lot of bushes, I can tell you that.
That's why we have a good training program, good safety program, great mentors.
Anybody have any other questions on this?
If you're comfortable with that, that's the direction that Sunil and I will go to work this in to prepare your tentative budget.
So you're thinking the 6 month period is going to be enough time to accumulate the extra funds to do the increases?
Well, reduce the amount that's paid in the fiscal year.
Yeah, and what that means is
less that has to go out.
Because remember, these are not one time numbers. When I implement these into the budget, this is ongoing and perpetuity,
into the future,
basically.
Yeah,
so what we're banking on is that once I implement these and we get to this point next year, our revenue growth is enough to sustain that going into the next year. So all those things that we did last year are being sustained by that growth that occurred last year in the budget. And by doing that, one, we ensure that those revenues come in where we anticipate that they will and that we can maintain that. Because if something happens, if we continue to see dips in revenue, we get an unfunded mandate from the state, the feds completely freeze all of that funding,
that's
and we have to pivot somewhere, I'm not committed to that right now. I've got the 6 months to see where does that happen. And if something changes, we still have time to say, okay, no, we're going to have to hold that. We're going to have to revisit that and put that in the next fiscal year. Or if those revenues come back and things look good, next year when we're having this meeting, there's a little bit bigger pot of money because we've seen that revenue growth. If we can do some things and our economy comes back, we add some businesses and things in the community, that pot gets a little bigger next year. So that's why I'm suggesting to do that mid-year. It's kind of a safety check to make sure that the funds are really there and we can commit to it for the long term.
Because we are in a transition right now.
An economic transition?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of uncertainty in things right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, you know, you're asking if we're comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with this. I don't like it really one bit. But at the same time, I don't feel like it's with the uncertainty that's out there in the economy, that's the right time to try and raise taxes to bring in the revenue that would fund things how I feel like they should be funded.
Plus the mosquito abatement is going to raise their taxes. So you don't want to compete against the mosquito abatement.
But no, I mean, I just want to be honest. Like, I'm not comfortable with this. Not because I don't trust staff and what you've put together. I trust it. I feel like it's very conservative. But I do wish we were in position that we could increase revenue and to hire the additional employees, give the raises all around that are well-deserved. But with where the economy's at right now, I don't feel comfortable with that either, of saying, yeah, we need to look into doing a truth in taxation here.
I'm sure, where the economy's at, people are spending between $7 and $11 on a dozen eggs or whatever. You know, I'm like a crazy amount of things. of course that has an impact on what else they can do, mm-hmm. what else they can spend. We are feeling it, but everyone's costs everywhere are going up. This is a cycle. Yeah. It is just.
And that's the challenge, right? If you're spending $7, $8, $9 on a dozen eggs, that's only taxed at 3%. That means that family's now not going out to a restaurant, which is almost 8%. Mm-hmm. And that, again, their budget, they're spending the money, but the tax that's being collected is collected in a different way at a lesser amount. So that's all part of how this sorts out.
To be honest, if you get to decide between, we love our friends downtown, we love our capital city and are supportive of our friends there, but if you're going to go spend tax dollars somewhere, you're going to spend more in Salt Lake City than you're going to spend in South Jordan going forward on sales tax. They passed that, the council passed it, it's going to be higher there. If we have a restaurant here versus a restaurant there, it's just something to keep in mind.
Shop local.
You know, yeah.
So back to your point, I know this is not the discussion for tonight, but I would like to have a scheduled economic development deep dive.
We're working on that.
Good. Because we really need to. I mean, you're talking about it's a long
lot of tools
late,
in our toolbox.
Let's make it stronger.
We are out there. Brian is out there every day talking to people.
We'll be talking about one hopefully on, well, not hopefully, we'll be talking one on Tuesday that we hopefully can use to help spur some development. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're going to make a change to the PID process. We're going to bring that to you in the work session next week to hopefully change that tool, which would be helpful in doing some things. We talked about a tool in our last work session two
just
sessions ago.
The legislature, no.
Turn off the mic.
So you're going to see another ordinance that we talked about on that PD overlay, that floating zone thing. Mm-hmm. We talked about it in a work session a couple of work sessions back. That's coming before you. We're trying to put some tools in the toolbox that lays the groundwork for things that we're doing. But,
at the legislative level, on behalf of like the league and all the work at LPC and all of that, I mean, that is what everybody's working on right now. Just we can't take all of our tools. You know, the motto this year is the state doesn't have a surplus and neither do cities. And we have to have the tools to function and to be able to maintain.
Another challenge that we're dealing with, too, is all these businesses are scaling back and cutting back. They're also in this economic crunch. So it's really hard to go try and say, hey, come build your new store here, when they're not building any new stores. Mm-hmm. So we're fighting a battle on a lot of fronts.
Yeah.
We got to go start recruiting some really bright young students getting ready to graduate from the Y and the U to come start their tech companies here. Utah still puts out more new millionaires every year than any other state. Let's get some of them to come get started here. I mean, I'm not kidding about that. Like, there's a lot of bright people out there and they're doing good things, and half of them came from our city, I'm sure. So let's get them to come.
Let's get them back.
Yeah,
we know there's going to be increased spending in the Department of Defense, and there's the point of the mountain. Is there anything we should be focused on proactively to draw some of those jobs and things here?
Well, yeah, I mean, and so part of that too is, as a city, okay, we got to talk to them, try to get them. Where are we going to put them? We don't own any property that we can put them on. So now we got to find somebody who's got property that's willing to sell property. They're willing to build the buildings to house these folks in. So,
annexed property.
Well, again,
we don't own it.
We don't get to dictate it. And remember, they make more money if they build housing, not if they build a big warehouse to do that. So there's a lot of pieces to that.
There's
got
to be strategies.
Well, that's just it. We got to get a lot of different partners around this table. It's not just us. It's getting those mm-hmm. people to come in. It's getting you guys to zone things commercial that they can do that. It's trying to figure out what tools we can get in the toolbox to try to help those people that own the property to build the things. But again, when we can't give them incentives, that's a bit of a challenge. And knowing that some of our property owners are spending a lot of money and still can't get people to come here, you know, I'm trying to figure out what do we do to attract those businesses. I don't have 15 acres to say, I'll build you a warehouse here.
Right.
I got to get one of those landholders to say, yeah, I'll give up that 15 acres. I was going to build housing on it, but yeah, we can do that. Let's go get them. Because mm-hmm. they're struggling to find their own tenants for their projects. So it's going to be a team effort. It's not just on us. We got to go get a bunch of players. We got to put tools in the toolbox. That's why this change to the PID policy, that's why the change on the other, it's giving us some tools that we can help them do that.
So to your point of let's get some players, are there people in our state I mean, we've got the Larry H. Miller team obviously focused on our city right now, which is a blessing. Are there other people? I mean, Aaron Stark said to me months ago, hey, bring together an economic team. I don't know if that's something we want
to
do.
So when they say bring the team together, what do they expect us to bring to the
table? I don't know. Just bringing it up.
And I'm just, I'm asking that as a legit, because you guys are telling me, go bring it here. But when they tell you that, what do they expect us to bring?
His suggestion was get some heavy hitters together and put together a team of
thinkers,
people to support.
Strategy.
Strategic people to come and meet with Brian and us.
But then what do they want us to do?
I don't think they know.
I don't know. I think it does.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to have that discussion, but I'm asking what do we bring to the table in that?
We're the city, and they want to operate and bring jobs to our city. So we have the discussion. How can we
strategize that? We don't have a lot of tools. We're adding all the tools. What else do we do? And I'm asking because I don't know what they expect us if we bring them all together.
Why don't we sit down and hear them?
What do we do?
What if they have an idea? I don't know.
One of the opportunities we've got, we spent a lot of effort putting the HTRZ program together.
Yeah.
A lot of these things are investments in the future. They take a few years to come to fruition. We've got Downtown Daybreak starting to,
finally,
to happen. When they get some office buildings around that mall, and those are the kind of things you can use to attract these companies,
right,
to say, this is a cool place to be, this is where these young, it's one of the things that got us, filled up at the Front Runner station was, those are the kind of things we do. I mean, all economic development isn't sales tax, or isn't retail sales. I mean, we've got to do, because you get property tax on those new buildings you get. But remember, it's in the HRZ, it's going to be deferred. We're not going to see that property tax for some years to come. So a lot of these things we do, are investments in the future. If we can get something really nice, like what they're building in Daybreak, and then we can start attracting these companies, but you've got to, and it's always hardest to get the first one. Everybody else wants to come, that's my whole career, getting that first one in a development, and then, because nobody wants to be the pioneer, but once you get that and they're successful, then a lot of it takes care of itself, but we do have this opportunity that's, getting closer and closer with, and we should see some revenue increases from some sales tax with, and those types of things as we bring the ball teams in. It's kind of how the city was built. We did this on RDA type projects and it took a while to get them done. They got done and, we're reaping the benefits, even though some of our things is, are getting a little tired and they may need to be refreshed and things like that. So
let me ask you about another one. A year or so ago, we had the people in here from the tourism wanting to have you guys authorize a hotel tax so that they could collect funds to support tourism in Utah. And we voted it down. And they said it would be about 5 years before we could look at that again. Is there interest if I try to get them to come back to the table and let us back in? Would you guys entertain doing that hotel tax so that they would have funds to incentivize other things to come into our city? There's been a couple of events that they haven't been able to give funds to that wanted to come to South Jordan. Do you want me to go see if I can get them to open that door back up so you guys can authorize that hotel tax? It's not money that comes to us, it's money that goes to Tourism Utah, but then they spend it to do events to bring people to our city.
I think one of the issues I had with it at the time was I didn't feel like they really could illustrate how it was going to benefit us. So maybe now if there's programs that they've had to turn away,
so like
that they can come and show us, hey, this would have brought X amount of people to your city, your restaurants, whatever. I just remember part of it that, I mean, there was a social political issue at the time.
And that part of it's gone.
Yeah, but also it seemed like they could not.
Yeah, they got rid of it because it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Because we aren't the only ones that voted no for that reason.
So, for example, they would give money to help host like the junior PGA thing at
Yeah,
and they would give some of their funds to help them host that there, but they can't do that because it's not a city where we collect the tax.
But I didn't feel like they were able to really That's give us any examples of how it was really going to benefit South Jordan by us. So it seemed more like we were going to help maybe Salt Lake or St. George, but it wasn't really. So how is this going to be returned back to South Jordan?
All of the that's a really hard thing to nail down, because they all say we bring in $1 billion or $1 million for this event. But what does that really mean, and what does that pencil for us? And it's nowhere near those numbers. They have a really hard time specifically saying it's going to be here. Yeah, it does bring people in.
Well, I don't mean the exact numbers, but if they're they can come and say, hey, you guys could have had junior PGA at Glenmore. You could have had this at I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if they could say, we had this group approach us, but we couldn't help them. We have this group. We couldn't help them because you guys are not participating. I don't need necessary exact numbers.
Does it make our hotel prices out of range, so they're going to go to a neighboring city that doesn't collect that tax and go, listen, we're saving $200 on our overall hotels for this, whatever, you know what I mean?
So cities are adding that same tax, so it's not going to probably...
It'd still be competitive.
Yeah. The challenge is we need to build more hotels. The question is, where can we build?
Do they guarantee, you know, that they'll do at least one event in your city?
No, there's not a guarantee. I'm just curious, because when we're talking about putting tools in the toolbox, I'm willing to go knock on some doors and ask if I can open that one up.
But if I remember right, that was an increase in tax, and the revenue went to them, yep. And as a body, they got dispersed.
Has nothing to do with us.
Yeah,
we
so that's, it was off-putting to me that we were raising a tax to fund their marketing.
We're not raising it. We're allowing them to collect it.
Yeah. It just felt like a marketing arm for them, and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's collecting. Sure. It's allowing them to collect money to serve their purposes.
Yes,
but there
may
be
the purpose is bringing people into our community.
That's what they say.
And if we're having events here and we're hosting events, maybe that helps us attract a hotel.
They call
it Maybe that helps us to attract a different
restaurant.
Maybe
they could give us some
case
in points.
It makes it easier for Doug Young to want to put in that hotel at Glenmore if he knows that there's other events going.
So that's what I'm saying. If you're interested, I'll go work to try to get that to move up on the timeline. So I've got another tool that we can put in to then say when we sit down with the developers and the ID people to say, hey, this is something that can happen. If you
they had something very specific. They say, hey, we could attract this into your city. I'd be interested. But if they're going to come and talk to us just about just general things like it may or whatever else, I don't know how much interest I have.
Yeah, I'd like to know, like, if Sandy is implementing that, because Riverton and Harriman don't have any hotels, but if Sandy has implemented that tax, what specific sports, Salt Lake sports, whatever they're called, sports Salt Lake, promoted events did they bring to Sandy as a result of that and were able to help get? I'd like to know that, you know, or wherever,
Those are questions I can go ask. Yeah. They might just say, no, you guys can't do it. But like in Riverton and Harriman where they don't have hotels, they can spend the money there. That's the disadvantage that we have.
They'd collect money in South Jordan and cross the border. And
well, right now they can go spend money there because there's no hotel there. We have hotels, so they can't come spend it because they don't collect any here. That's what I'm saying. I'm asking you guys, you want me to try to put as many tools in the toolbox?
Yeah.
And that's one
Let's consider
that
the
I could
tool.
Go try to,
yeah.
to get, but I don't want
to
go knock on the door and have them open it if you
I'd
guys
like to
aren't
have
interested.
Some greater information before we invite them in to come and have a conversation.
I'd just like to
well,
get more information.
What if we find out a city nearby that's doing the tool and talk to their staff or their council and see if they feel it's a true benefit.
I'll
that's another way
some
of
more information and kind of see. And,
Jay's got the guy who's the director of Sports Salt Lake now on board, right? You guys serve together because
Clay's on the board, so I know Clay.
Yeah. It's information I
guys say go do it,
but I'm not ready to say
pull
the trigger.
What can I do? I got to load tools that we can use, and that's a tool. But I don't know if they'll let us back in. But I'll beg.
Sit in the penalty box.
I don't think we need a beg.
I want to see what they've
done
first.
I
want to see where it's actually played out for the truck. Show us what you brought and where you sent them and what the benefit was.
But with the ballpark going in out there, I think maybe we need to be thinking more about that, you know, because there's...
But is Sports Salt Lake going to be the one that brings events to the ballpark?
No.
I don't think so.
They're very protective of what that ballpark can be used for because they have
maybe we should
their own schedule.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a conversation worth having, but I don't want to invite them in until we can have a lot of these answers.
I'll explore it on the side. I'm going to go after every opportunity we can. And votes when it's out there.
Dustin, we do have to wait for that cycle to be over with. You couldn't just join in the middle. But it had a finite number of years, like 5 years.
Yeah, it's a 5-year thing.
Then they would have to reauthorize it.
There may be a way. I already had one conversation.
But
several
years have gone by, so if we can start seeing what they've done, we'll be ready for when it's an opportunity.
So you're telling me I have a chance.
I have a chance. If you guys want me to pursue it, I have a chance.
I think it's worth a conversation.
But I didn't want to pursue it if you guys didn't want to do it.
As long as they took that social piece out of there, that they were funding that.
That piece is gone.
That's what the heck.
That piece is gone.
Yeah, come and spend your tax dollars here and help us implement change in the culture here. Let's change the prevailing culture here. And we were like,
they're a little political.
We said very,
very,
very, and we were all like,
against the grain.
No. Yeah.
The timing was terrible.
So they're more Salt Lake City oriented?
What's their name?
Yeah.
Well, it had to do too with out of state entities that were not coming here as a result.
Yeah.
Bless you. I can see it passing.
Well, unless there's any other questions or anything else anybody has for us, I think we can probably get
And as I mentioned, Sunil's setting up one-on-ones. You can spend 10 minutes or 10 hours. It just depends on how deep
Sunil,
you want to go.
Of course, Sunil's locked in his office anyway.
We're just hoping for 10 hours. it all depends on how deep you want to dive in. We'll show you everything.
Ours is like at 4:30 p.m. Okay. Dawn, you probably have to start at 4:30.
All right. Unless anybody has any other questions or comments, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Let me get a second. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right. We are adjourned.